through your word and your sacraments and in your people, your body. Lord, today we pray that we would not be limited by this fixation on that we have in our society of trying to explain everything. But Lord, we let you be the God that you are. That we, like Isaiah, when we come into your presence, when we experience you in our prayer closet, when we experience you among the body of believers, when we experience you in the worship service, when we experience you anywhere and everywhere, may we come to the point, like Isaiah, of saying, "Woe to me, I am a sinner." And yet know that we are forgiven by your blood, by your grace. And that we would be ready to go and to do what you have called us to do, to be your witnesses, to testify to your amazing love and your power each and every day. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. On Trinity Sunday, we are invited in to this mysterious world of experiencing God. A world that I wish every person had the opportunity to experience. A world where a world where people that are limited by science, meaning they only believe what they can explain. Isn't that kind of depressing? A world where you can only limit yourself to what you can explain as being real and substantial. A world where mystery is not allowed. Where a God who is capable of doing greater things than we can ever imagine or conceive or think is excluded. That's depressing. Yet there are many people today who live in that world. There are many people today who look at what we believe and say, "How can you believe in this Trinity? It doesn't make any sense." An old story that I don't know if it's true or not true, but it's been passed down through the centuries in the church, is the story of St. Augustine. St. Augustine, contemplating the mystery of the Trinity, walking along the beach, picking up a shell, listening to the shell. What do you hear when you listen to a shell? The ocean. And hearing a still small voice, which he attributed to the Holy Spirit, say to him, "It is as foolish as trying to stick the ocean into the shell as to try to fully conceive and understand the mystery of the Trinity. It's as foolish as trying to stick the ocean into the shell." Brothers and sisters, my prayer for you today is as we dedicate these windows, I was going to go through the Athanasian Creed. I'm going to invite you to take it home. We do not have enough time today, and I did not want to short shrift Rachel. I want to meet her soon, sooner or later, depending on the Lord's will. And I'm not going to short shrift her on this day, because this day is really a day dedicated to her, because a lot of people dedicated a lot of time, energy, money into the windows that we're going to dedicate today, and I want to make sure we have enough time for that. But I would encourage you to take time to read the Athanasian Creed. It's only the one time we use it is on Trinity Sunday, and if I had more time, we'd go through it, because it is an attempt. I'm going to be clear on this. It is an attempt by the early church to try to explain the mystery of the Trinity. And I really like, you know, there's some things people say, oh, man, you know, that's, oh, I don't want to do that Athanasian Creed. I like it. Because to me, it shows that even the brightest and best of the theologians of the church and the church fathers couldn't even fully express in words the truth of our God. How amazing he is, how awesome he is, how big he is, how mysterious he is. And with that, how mysterious is his love for us. That he can love us even when we totally mess up. That he can still love us no matter what we do. There's nothing we can do that will ever keep him from loving us. That's the God we serve. That's the mystery of the Trinity. That's who we worship. It is my prayer today that you experience God here. Did you experience God here? That's the desire. That's the hope. That's why we do this worship time and celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's because we know through his word and through his sacrament, through the worship of his people, that he promises to be present here. It's not my promise. It's not the elder's promise. It's not the cross resurrection's promise. It's God's promise. He's the one who says in Matthew 18, wherever two or more are gathered in his name, he's there in the midst of them. It's his promise to us, right? And he's capable of doing that. And I hope that you experience him. I hope that you had such an experience that you, like Isaiah, were willing to say, woe is me, for I am a sinful man. We bring nothing to him. And yet he wants to call us. He wants to let us know you are important. Just like Rachel, I mean, I am just amazed at how what an impact she has and still has on people. Tell me you had a dry eye going through that. I certainly didn't. It's a mystery. Can we let mystery be mystery? Do we have to try to explain everything away to make ourselves feel more comfortable? Can we just let God be God? Wouldn't that be okay? Can we try that? Let's let God be God. Let him pour out his love even if we don't understand it. Let him forgive us our sins even though we're sinful people and we keep doing the same thing over and over again. You know how foolish that is? Isn't that, you know, have you ever thought how God must look at us and say, I'm forgiving you, and at the same time knowing exactly the fact that you're going to do it again? I didn't understand that until I became a parent. Preach, brother. Some of us have been through this experience. Can we just let God be God? Just receive the forgiveness of our sins from him. Receive the love from him. Receive the power to live as his people each and every day. Just to receive the promise that he makes that we are his children no matter what. No matter what. And that he meets us whenever we need him. That he heals us. And he just desperately wants us to stop trying to explain everything and figure it out and come up with some worldly way of manipulating things and just let him be God. Can we do that? We could try. Good point, Edge. We could try. Yeah, we'll probably feel miserably at that too, but that's okay because our God is a God who is full of grace and truth and loves us. Loves us and wants us to walk in his grace and power each and every day. So may you leave here today knowing that the Trinity is a testimony to the fact that our God is so big, so mighty, so awesome, so powerful that he can do things that just cause people to say, I don't know. That's our God. Amen.